Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Stotrata Shri Srimad Shivain Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupad Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashta Prayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki.
Hare Krishna. So we are reading from the 11th canto, chapter 29. Chapter is entitled Bhakti Yoga. Text number 23. Eshate bihi takrutsno Brahmavadasya sangraha Samasa vyasa vidhina Devanamapi durgamaha Eshate bihi takrutsno Brahmavadasya sangraha Samasa vyasa vidhina Devanamapi durgamaha Eshate bihitakritsno Brahmavadasya sangraha Samasa vyasa vidhina Devanamapi durgamaha. Eshate దేవానామపి దుర్గమా ఏష దిస్ తే ఆన్ టు యూ అభిహిత హ్యాస్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ కృత్స్న completely brahmavadasya of the science of the absolute truth sangraha the survey samasa in brief vyasa in detail vidhina by both means devanam for the demigods api even దుర్గమః ఇనాక్సెసిబుల్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్స్ డిసైపుల్స్ దస్ ఐ హ్యావ్ రిలేటెడ్ టు యూ బోత్ ఇన్ బ్రీఫ్ అండ్ ఇన్ డీటెయిల్ ఎ కంప్లీట్ సర్వే ఆఫ్ ది సైన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్ ఈవెన్ ఫార్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ దిస్ సైన్స్ ఈస్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు కాంప్రిహెండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ The word Devanam indicates those living beings in the mode of goodness, such as demigods, saints and pious philosophers, who nevertheless cannot understand the absolute truth because they lack full surrender to the personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వ పదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ సో దిస్ చాప్టర్ ఇస్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ భక్తి యోగ అండ్ వీఆర్ అబౌట్ టు రీచ్ ది కన్క్లూజన్ ఆఫ్ ది సెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ఉద్ధవ గీత And Krishna has spoken so many topics. Varnashram system, deity worship, and so many other topics he has covered. Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. And towards the end he is emphasizing on the topic of bhakti and pure devotional service. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we find this verse. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami writes, What is Krishna consciousness? Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, prema tattva sar, bhava tattva, rasa tattva, leela tattva ar. So in the translation, Prabhupada defines Krishna consciousness. He says, Krishna consciousness means understanding the truth of Krishna, Krishna tattva, the truth of devotional service, bhakti tattva, The truth of love of God, prema tattva. The truth of emotional ecstasy, bhava tattva. the truth of transcendental mellows, rasa tattva, and the truth of the pastimes of the Lord, leela tattva. So when we say Krishna consciousness, it includes everything. Now, which aspect of Krishna consciousness we should present before a particular audience, it depends on the audience. We can't present, for example, bhava tattva and rasa tattva to a totally new audience, someone who has just come to Krishna consciousness, just arrived new to the temple. For them we present Krishna tattva, how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, how God exists, like our JOSD sessions. For regular devotees who have started practicing sadhana bhakti, we present the principles of bhakti tattva, prema tattva also to some extent. For advanced devotees who can relish the rasas and the various emotions, bhava, and they can discuss bhava tattva, rasa tattva. So in this way, everything is Krishna conscious, Krishna consciousness, but we have to be discriminative about which topic to present to whom. Even in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we see Mahaprabhu discriminating. With Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, he talks about Krishna tattva, philosophical conclusions. With Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, he discusses the principle of bhakti tattva. And with devotees like Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he discusses rasa tattva and bhava tattva. In the nectar of, not nectar of devotion, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse comes. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamatis kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritair na labhyate. Which means, pure devotion service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price. The intense greed to obtain it, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. Like a few days ago, Shadvishwaru was talking about greed. Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. This intense greed is the qualification to obtain pure devotion service. Intense greed is the qualification to obtain anything in this world. If you are not greedy for example, money, no one is going to obtain it. If I am detached and I say whatever is there, I am happy with it, then I am not going to find ways and means to obtain more money. But someone is really ambitious and greedy for money, he will somehow or other find some avenues, some business options, lucrative ideas by which he can generate money. Similarly, if you want to attain pure devotion to Krishna, we must have that intense desire. Laulyam api mulyam ekalam. Once we have that greed, once that greed is aroused within our heart, then we will somehow or other find out time and methods to obtain that greed. So, Prabhupada defines Krishna consciousness in several ways. He said, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita, this phrase of this verse is, in Prabhupada's terms, it is Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita, condensed, although it is to only two words, in Sanskrit we have four words here, but Krishna consciousness, this phrase encapsulates everything that is explained in this verse. And he says, the way to awaken this greed for spontaneous loving service is by associating with devotees. Only when we associate with like-minded people who have similar greed for pure devotion, then similar greed will arise in our heart. Otherwise, it is almost impossible without the association of similar devotees. And where can we find such an association? The whole purpose of establishing the society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, was this. He writes, it is only this institution, this Krishna consciousness movement, that is teaching people how to love Krishna. There is no other society of people that is teaching this point. There may be other society of people who are talking about Krishna and discussing various subject matters connected to Krishna. But no one is teaching how to love Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada wanted this institution to exclusively focus on how one can develop our love of Krishna. And in one, you know that pastime how someone suggested that you should name the society International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada felt the word God is too vague, too much possibility for interpretation if you use the word God. So many people have so many ideas of God. Demigods can be God. I am God, you are God, everyone is God. So God, although it is accurate, but people can derive so many meanings out of it and may not arrive at the right meaning that we want them to arrive at. So therefore, Prabhupada insisted, no, Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna is God. If God is Krishna, why not use the term Krishna consciousness? So we find within the material world so many avatars keep coming. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna keeps coming so many times in different yugas, in different millennia. According to time, place, circumstance, Krishna establishes the religious principles for that particular people of that particular area. But our shastras explain that Lord Krishna, the original Krishna, comes only once in a day of Brahma. So many thousands of avatars may have come in a day of Brahma, but the original Shyam Sundar Krishna and subsequent Lord Chaitanya comes only once in a day of Brahma. So when they come, either Krishna or Lord Chaitanya come, their only focus is not just paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam and dharma samsthapanarthaya. That is there. But their exclusive purpose of descending into this world is to flood the world. Flood the world with pure devotion. Flood the world with ecstatic emotions for Krishna. In pure love. Therefore, that is something very rare, which is not easily distributed by even other avatars. Only Krishna and Lord Chaitanya does that. And Lord Chaitanya inaugurates that special process by which the world can be inundated with those kind of ecstatic emotions, which is chanting of Hare Krishna and the Sankirtan movement. And in order to become qualified for that process, in order to become qualified to attain that pure love, they insist that we have to give up pretentious cheating religion. Dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmatsranam satam. So until we give up any kind of pretensions we may have, any kind of ulterior motives we may have, until we give them up, then we become eligible to take up the process of pure devotion. We become eligible to practice pure devotion. Otherwise, even our so-called devotion will be tinged with so many other desires. Of course, the potency of devotion is there that can purify us. But they remain as stumbling blocks to access the joy of pure devotion. And we find when Krishna came here in the material world, in Vrindavan, predominantly he showed how to practice pure devotion through his devotees. Especially the four rasas, Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, Vatsalyaras, Madhuryaras. Prabhupada in the Nectar of Instruction, in that verse of Upadesha Saram, the essence of all advice, there he writes how these four rasas can be seen primarily in Krishna's pastimes. Dasyaras exhibited by devotees like Chitraka, Patraka, Raktaka, Sakhyaras by Sridhama, Subal, these kind of covered boys. Vatsalyaras as exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And Madhuryaras as exhibited by the Radharani and the Gopis. So in this way, constantly remembering these associates and trying to follow in their footsteps, that is the essence of all advice, according to Rupa Goswami. So if, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, this is what the parampara is offering us, to practice devotion service as exhibited by the pure residents of Vrindavan, Krishna's eternal companions. And we must be eager for that. That lavlyam, that greed has to be developed. But in order to attain that, we have to go through that anartha nivritti stage. So therefore the first 9 cantos, so many avatars descend, we hear about their pastimes, how they killed various demons. Like in one class, Gauram Prabhu was talking about how every demon, not just the demons killed in Vrindavan, but every pastime, every demon killed by any avatar that is described in the Bhagavatam is helping us uproot some anartha within the heart. So when Narsingdev is killing Hiranyakashipu, or Parashuram is killing some demons, or Lord Ram is killing someone, every demon killed represents a particular specific anartha within our heart. By meditating on that pastime of the Lord killing those specific demons, we become free of that anartha. Like we see how Lord Chaitanya was hearing the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad hundreds of times from Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu. So that kind of taste he had, devotees have. So any pastime, whether it is other avatars or Krishna's pastimes, we have to develop that taste. Not that only focus on Krishna's Ras Leela, like the Sahaji Ashru, which Prabhupada repeatedly condemns. But repeatedly hearing these pastimes of the Bhagavatam, even the pastime of creation of the material world, there is a purpose behind that. Krishna, how he expands into Mahavishnu and other Vishnu forms, and so many universes are coming out, Brahma is created and the different elements are created, Tanmatras are created. Everything has a... There is a purpose behind allowing us to escape this material world. So somewhere our thoughts are anchored to the material world, and those anchoring is not allowing us to get out of the material world. So these pastimes help cut those chains that are keeping us bound to material attachments. So whether it is Krishna's creation pastimes, Kurukshetra pastimes, or other demon killing pastimes, it is helping us cut those bonds, deep bonds, strong bonds. Then we become eligible for hearing the other eternal pastimes. So although every mellow is complete, every rasa is complete, our acharyas explain how Madhurya rasa is special, because in that rasa, total surrender is exhibited by Radharani and the gopis. So although every devotee in each rasa is happy and satisfied in their particular service, from an objective level we understand that the devotional service exhibited by the gopis are the supreme, highest. And that's what Lord Chaitanya is awarding. Anarpita charim chirat karunaya vatirna kalu samarpayitu munnato jvalarsam subhakti shriyam Hari Purata Sundara Dyutikatamba Sandipita Sadahadaya Kandare Spuratuva Shachi Nandana. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Shachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in this age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, which is the mellow of conjugal love. So in this way, we are privileged to somehow or other come in touch with the movement of Lord Chaitanya and getting this opportunity to develop that pure love. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji in one place, in one incident, he said that the offenseless meditation on the syllables of the holy name would reveal our Swarupa. Therefore, that practice of keeping that mantra card with the names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it originated from him. Chanting Hare Krishna by looking at that words, that was his advice. That can reveal our everything about us, the original past, original Swarupa. So here in this verse today we find Krishna is saying, neither the demigods or great people can understand the signs that I have described to you in brief and in detail. In the Gita also Krishna says, Name vidus suragana prabhavam namaharshayaha aham adirhi devana maharshinam cha sarvasha. What I am going to describe now, even the great demigods cannot understand. The great maharshis, maharshinam cha sarvasha. No one can understand this. So that's the science. Because we find it so repeatedly appearing in Prabhupada's purport, we may not realize how confidential this knowledge is. Prabhupada had this amazing knack of decoding the deepest philosophical truth into simplified language. And there will feel, oh, this is a simple example, simple analogy, or this philosophical truth is easy to understand. But these deepest truths were kept locked in cryptic Sanskrit commentaries, which no one had access. Prabhupada took all those commentaries and simplified it into a language which we could understand easily. And therefore we feel it is so, everyone knew all this. That's what we believe sometimes. But it was not accessible to anyone. In one class, Radha Gopinath Prabhu once spoke about the laws of bhakti. He spoke about four laws. And I liked those points very much, and I made it into an article. From back to Godhead. So there he describes how bhakti functions. How the principle of bhakti acts in a devotee's life. Or how does Krishna reciprocate with devotees based on the laws of bhakti. So oftentimes we find this tension between scientists and religionists. You have scientists saying, you people are all sentimentalists. You simply believe in God and you can't prove anything. Whereas religionists claim that you people are too empirical. You don't understand experience. You are talking about physical and chemical laws, but these laws cannot explain emotions. So therefore this tussle exists between the two. The scientists cannot explain emotions satisfactorily, whereas religionists cannot explain their practice and experience in a logical, scientific manner. But when we understand these laws of bhakti, when we study the Vedic scriptures, we understand that even the scientists can satisfy their intellect, and even the religionists can nourish their faith. So he spoke of four laws. The law of attraction. So we know this famous law of gravitational law of attraction. So gravitational law says, if you have two mass, M1, M2, and then there is an attractive force between the two objects, which is directly proportional to the mass and inversely proportional to the distance between them. What is that formula? G, M1, M2 upon? M1, M2 upon R square. So similarly, here we have two living entities. The living entity, Jiva and Krishna. So the law of attraction states that there will be attraction between these two. and but it is not proportional to the mass. In fact, here the attraction, the love exerted, the force exerted by one living entity is much more than the force exerted by the other. Krishna's love for the living entity is much more than the love that a living entity feels for Krishna. And also, it is not inversely proportional to the distance. It is, in fact, the more the distance, love in separation, as separation increases, the attraction increases. Vipralamba bhava is said to be more intense. The enjoyment deriving out of vipralamba, the bliss experienced in separation, is said to be more than the bliss of union. That's what the gopis experience. Like Uddhava went to Vrindavan and he saw Radha and the gopis mad. Externally they appear to be very miserable, but internally they are enjoying extreme levels of bliss. So in this way, this law exists. There is a natural loving attraction for a living entity towards Krishna, and Krishna has a natural love for the living entity. But there is some blockage nowadays. Now, we have so many anarthas, and those anarthas are like rust. Kaviraj Goswami talks about rust covering the iron. And therefore, the iron is not naturally attracted to the magnet. So in this way, this law is there. The other law that he spoke about was the law of reciprocation. So one law of reciprocation we already know, the law of karma. Every action has a reaction. Pious actions give you pious reactions. Sinful actions give you sinful reactions. So this is the law of reciprocation. And it is universal also, not just concerning physical objects. It is everywhere. Krishna also talks in the Gita, Ye yathamam prabadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. This is the law of reciprocation. And the way you approach me, accordingly I reciprocate with you. If you approach me with enmity, I become your enemy. If you approach me as a friend, I become your friend. If you approach me as something else, I'll reciprocate accordingly. Like in that famous verse, when Krishna is entering the arena of Kamsa, everyone is seeing Krishna differently. The friends, the coward boys are seeing him as, our intimate friend. The Nanda Maharaj is seeing him as our dear son. The rishis and munis are seeing him as our worshipable object. Kamsa is seeing him as his enemy. Gopis are seeing him as a beloved lover. So everyone is seeing differently. Krishna is reciprocating with everyone according to their bhav, their emotion. So in this way, this reciprocation exists. There is another kind of reciprocation also. If we offend devotees, then there is a different kind of reciprocation. Mad elephant offense. And for devotees like Vasudev Datta, they desire something, let the whole universe be delivered, and Mahaprabhu reciprocates in a totally unexpected way. Okay, because you desired this, what is the loss if one mustard seed of universe is lost? There are so many millions of mustard universes, which are like bag full of mustard seeds. One universe is lost. What is the loss in Krishna's property? So in this way, Krishna reciprocates with different devotees in different ways. There is this law of subjugation. So Krishna is a controller of everything. He subjugates everyone. He has everything under his control. But he becomes controlled by his devotee. If the devotee has pure love, then Krishna agrees to become subjugated by the devotee. The famous verse is there in the 9th canto. Aham bhakta paradhino hyasvatantra ivadvija Sadhuvirgrastahridayo bhaktair bhaktajana priyaha. So this is Lord Vishnu telling Durvasa Muni in connection with the Ambarish pastime. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Asvatantra. I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their heart. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. So Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotees and the devotee of his devotees. And we see so many examples. Yashoda controlling Krishna, gopis controlling Krishna, Krishna getting that padukas for Nanda Maharaj. That shows he's subjugated by his devotee's love. Cowherd boys putting flour into his mouth. Krishna closing his eyes and says, oh, there's some sweet I'm going to offer. And then he puts flour. And then Krishna bites that and he feels a kadwa taste. So that kind of pastime is all subjugation. Krishna voluntarily becoming subjugated to his devotee's love. And another law is there. The law of unification. These are the four laws he described. So, one who is a pure devotee, he is completely in harmony with Krishna's mission. So we have to dovetail all our desires in Krishna consciousness. And a devotee puts aside all his selfish motives aside. And he channelizes everything in Krishna's service. So uniting or making our desires one with the desires of Krishna. Again a similar verse comes in the same section. Sadhavo hridayam mahyam sadhu naam hridayam tuham. Madanyatte na janati naham tebhyo managapi. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. And I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything but me. And I do not know anything anyone else but them. The Gita also we find, Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya, mayite teshu chapyaham. I am in me and they are in, I am in them and they are in me. So, by the force of devotion service, the devotee forgets that he is separate. He considers himself one with Krishna. There is not like that impersonal oneness, but the mission, they are so much in sync with each other that whatever the devotee does is as good as Krishna doing it. And Krishna empowers his devotee with all the powers. Like in Lord Chaitanya, South India too, we find he would meet someone, embrace someone, and that devotee would get empowered. He would go and meet his villagers, and he would spread the movement, spread the holy names, just as Lord Chaitanya did. And they in turn would go to their associates and they would spread. So everyone was acting like an expansion of Mahaprabhu. In this way, Kaviraj Goswami says the whole South India got converted into Vaishnavism. So in that verse in the Gita, Prabhupada says, a devotee becoming one with Krishna is like a parrot entering the tree. It's not that they are becoming one in identity, but they retain their individual identities. Just like a parrot enters a tree, we see everything becoming green. The green parrot is merged into the green tree. But the parrot continues to retain his identity. So in this way, these four laws of bhakti is there. And Krishna agrees to abide by these laws. A devotee's pure devotion goes through these procedures. Just like any other science, there are certain laws. And matter doesn't disobey the laws. The law of gravitation or any other chemical, physical, biochemical laws, astronomical laws. So, bhakti also is guided by certain principles. It is not whimsical. There are set guided rules. Of course, there is spontaneous devotion, but spontaneous devotion doesn't mean whimsical devotion. Again, those are also guided by principles. So here in this verse we find Krishna is saying, not everyone can understand. Not everyone can understand these principles. In spite of big intellectual people trying to study the subject, they remain ignorant of the conclusive truths of pure devotional science. This one pastime comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Mahaprabhu is, after taking sannyas, is going to Puri with a few associates, and they have entered Jagannath Puri, and Mahaprabhu is walking in the front because Lord Nityan Prabhu broke his danda, so he is a little upset, and he says, you all come behind me, I'll go forward. And Mahaprabhu is going ahead, they are following behind, and at Athar Nala, his ecstasy increases, and he starts running towards Jagannath temple to see Lord Jagannath. And these people are lagging far behind. Finally, he reaches Jagannath Puri, Jagannath temple, takes a darshan of Lord Jagannath, and there he falls unconscious upon seeing Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. And at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya happened to be there. And he sees this young, effulgent sannyasi falling unconscious. So he understands this something, this someone special. So he calls his assistants and tells them, take him to my home. And he takes him there. By the time these associates come behind, and then they see Mahaprabhu is not there. So they start inquiring. And they say, yeah, someone was there taking darshan, and he fell unconscious. They check with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. So they understand, they are talking about Mahaprabhu only. So they go. Finally they see there. Mahaprabhu is lying there, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is trying to understand what exactly is the problem with this person, sannyasi. Is he alive or is he dead, or is he displaying ecstatic emotions? Uncommon ecstatic emotions. So he takes a cotton swab, puts near his nose, and then he sees the threads are moving. Then he comes to the conclusion, this is no ordinary person. This is the display of the highest form of ecstatic emotions. And then the devotees start chanting Hare Krishna. And hearing the sound vibration of the holy name, Mahaprabhu finally wakes up, comes out of his ecstasy. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, everyone is happy. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya allots him a room, Gambhira, says, you stay there, and my assistants will get prasad for you, and everything is arranged. So there's a discussion between Gopinath Acharya, who happens to be his brother-in-law, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Gopinath Acharya says, to Lord Chaitanya, you are a young sannyasi, and if you want to maintain your sannyas, you should continuously hear Vedanta philosophy. Otherwise, it is going to be difficult for you. So I volunteer to teach you Vedanta. I shall continuously recite Vedanta philosophy so that he may remain fixed in his renunciation. So when Gopinath Acharya hears this, he says, they are very unhappy. Gopinath Acharya and Mukunda Datta, they feel greatly pained. So he says, my dear Bhattacharya, you do not know the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are found in him to the highest degree. Lord Chaitanya celebrates the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are ignorant in this connection find the conclusion of knowledgeable men very difficult to understand. So the disciples of Sarvabhauma say, by what evidence do you conclude that Sri Chaitanya is Supreme Lord? So Gopinath Acharya says, the statements of authorized acharyas who understand the Supreme Personality are the proof. That is the evidence. So the disciples say, we derive knowledge of the Absolute Truth by logical hypothesis. So Gopinath Acharya says, one cannot attain real knowledge of the Supreme Lord by such logical hypothesis and argument. That is not the way. One can understand the Supreme Lord only by His mercy, not by guesswork or hypothesis. If one receives but a tiny bit of the Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he quotes the famous verse, Athapite deva padam bujadvaya prasada leshanu grihitayevahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichiram vichinvan. If one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate or do guesswork, even though they continue to study the Vedas, they are unable to know you. So he quotes this verse to Sarvabhauma. Yadyapi jagat guru tumi shastra gyanavan prithivite nahi pandita tomar saman ishwarera kripa lesha nahi ka tomate ata eva ishwara tattva na para janite. It's quite straightforward. He says, you cannot understand. Gopinacharya then addressed Sarvabhauma, you are a great scholar, teacher of many disciples. There is no scholar like you. But because you are bereft of even a pinch of Lord's mercy, you cannot understand him, even though he is present in your own home. It is not your fault, he says. It is a verdict of the scriptures. You cannot understand the Supreme Lord simply by scholarship. So Sarvabhauma says, he is quite gentleman in his response. My dear Gopinath Acharya, please speak with great care. What is the proof that you have received the mercy of the Lord? You talk about mercy. What is the proof that you have received the mercy? So he says, Gopinath Acharya says, knowledge of the summum bonum, the absolute truth, is evidence of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. I have mercy. The evidence, the proof is, I have knowledge of the Supreme Lord. That is the evidence of mercy. You have seen the symptom of the Supreme Lord in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Despite directly perceiving these symptoms, you cannot understand him. This is called illusion. Maya. A person influenced by the external energy is called Bahirmukhajan, because despite his perception, he cannot understand the real substance. So when he heard this, Sarvabhauma, he smiled and he said, we are just having a discussion among friends and considering the points described in the scriptures. Why do you get angry? I am simply speaking on the strength of the Shastras. Please don't take any offense. So in this way, then we know how Sarvabhauma meets Lord Chaitanya and starts speaking the Vedanta philosophy 7 days continuously. And then Mahaprabhu says, Sarvabhauma says, are you understanding anything what I am saying? So Mahaprabhu says, I can understand everything, but your description is like a cloud covering the sun. So Sarvabhauma is shaken, and then he says, okay, then you explain what is your understanding. And then Mahaprabhu goes on describing, explaining the Vedanta Sutras, and then he becomes a devotee. But the point is how, simply by speculative knowledge, by scholarship, by argument, by logic, by logical hypothesis, we can never arrive at the conclusion. We can use these tools to a certain extent, but beyond a certain stage, logically, we can never come to that conclusion. We need Krishna's mercy. Revelation is needed. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrata. Then all these things are opened. It's like a lock. Otherwise, logically, we cannot open the lock. We need a key. Someone has to unlock it from inside. Then we can go inside. So that's how Krishna is describing here. He's summarizing this verse is like a summary of that entire section of the chapter, and few more verses and the chapter is going to end. So any questions or thoughts anyone wants to share? Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.